ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते
Bhagavatam Canto 6, Chapter 5, entitled Narada Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha, verse number 31.
Bhratrinam praya prayanam bhata. Yona utishthadi dharma ved.
Sabunya bandhu purusho,
sabunya bandhu purusho,
marudhi saha modate,
marudhi saha modate,
bhadranam praya traya, prayanam bhadrata,
prayanam prayanam bhadrata,
navyo no tishtati dharma ved,
navyo tishtati dharma ved,
Sabunya bandhu purusho, marudbhisaha modate, bhratrinam prayanam bhata, yonutishthati dharma ved,
sabunya
bandhu purusho,
marudbhisaha modate,
Bhratrinam prayanam bhrata,
Bhratrinam prayanam bhrata,
yonutishthati dharma ved,
yonutishthati dharma ved,
sabunya bandhu purusho,
sabunya bandhu purusho,
marudbhih saha modate,
marudbhih saha modate.
Word of translation, Bhratrinam,
Bhratrinam,
of elder brothers, Prayanam,
Dapa,
Bhrata,
Bhrata,
a faithful brother,
Yaha,
Vandhu,
Anidishthati,
follows,
Dharmaved,
knowing the religious principles,
Saha,
that. Punya bandhu,
highly
pious,
purushaha,
person, marudbhihi, the demigods of the winds,
saha,
wit, modate, enjoys life. A brother aware of the principles of religion follows in the footsteps of his elder brothers. Because of being highly elevated, such a pious brother gets the opportunity to associate and enjoy with demigods like the Maruts, who are all affectionate to their brothers. Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki. According to their belief in various material relationships, people are promoted to various planets. Here it is said that one who is very faithful to his brothers should follow a path similar to theirs and get the opportunity for promotion to Marudloka. Narada Muni advised Prajapati Daksha, second group of sons, to follow their elder brothers and be promoted to the spiritual world. We will continue reading a few verses.
एतावसुत्वा प्रययो नारदो मोक्षदर्शनः तेभि चान्यगमन् मार्गम् भ्रातृणाम् एव मारिषा.
Sukadev Goswami continued, O best of the advanced Aryans, after saying this much to the sons of Prajapati Daksha, Narada Muni, whose merciful glance never goes in vain, left as he had planned. The sons of Daksha followed their elder brothers, not attempting to produce children. they engage themselves in Krishna consciousness. Sadhrichinam pradichinam parasyanupadham gataha nadhyapite nivrtande paschimayaminirthiva. The Savarashas took to the correct path, which is obtainable by a mode of life meant to achieve devotional service or the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like knights that have gone to the west, they have not returned even until now. Verse 34. Erasmin kala utpadan bahun pasyan prajapatihi purovan narada gritam putranasham upashrunot. Okay. So things are getting serious now. At this time, Prajapati Daksha observed many inauspicious signs, and he heard from various sources that a second group of sons, the Savalashvas, had followed the path of the elder brothers in accordance with the instructions of Narada. Verse 35. Chukrodha Naradaya Sau Putra Shoga Vimurchidaha Devashim Upalabhyaha Rosha Vispurita Dharaha. When he heard that the Savalashvas had also left this world to engage in devotional service, Daksha was angry at Narada and he almost fainted due to lamentation. When Daksha met Narada, Daksha's lips began trembling in anger and he spoke as follows. Purport, we will not continue the next verse. So Daksha's curse, someone else will do. So, but this verse, purport is very good because it is actually leading up to what happened so far. Srila Vishwasakta Thakur comments that Narada Muni had delivered the entire family of Swayambhuvamanu, beginning with Priyavrata and Uttarapada. He had delivered Uttarapada's son Dhruva and had even delivered Rajinavarhi, who was engaged in fruitive activities. Nevertheless, he could not deliver Prajapati Daksha. Prajapati Daksha saw Narada before him because Narada had personally come to deliver him. Narada Muni took the opportunity to approach Prajapati Daksha in his bereavement, because the time of bereavement is suitable time for appreciating Bhakti Yoga. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:16, four kinds of men: Artha, one who is distressed, Arthati, one in need of money, Jityasu, one who is inquisitive, and Jnani, a person with knowledge, try to understand devotional service. Prajapati Daksha was in great distress because of the loss of his sons, and therefore Narada took the opportunity to instruct him regarding liberation from material bondage. Om Jnana Tirathasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stavidam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Ritunadanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarupnesya Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namame. Namaste Saraswate Deve ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശതാരിണേ ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാ ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ഭൂതയ മഹാത്മയൈ മഹാപുരോ വിഭു നിർമായ ശേതേയദമൂഷ പുരുഷ ഭുങ്ക്തേ ഗുണാന് ഷോഡശ ഷോഡശാത്മക സ്വലംകൃശീഷ്ട ഭഗവാൻ വചാംസി മേ. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Here, the pastime is going to take a turn in the next verse. And we can see the beginning in this verse in itself. Narada Muni has a very unique position in the universal affairs. His name proclaims that. Narada. Nara is referring to Lord Narayana. Da means one who gives. So Narada is the one who can give Krishna to everyone. Interestingly enough, he started performing that right from the creation, because Narada is also a mental son of Lord Brahma. He is the Shaktiyavesh avatar, empowered incarnation of bhakti, or to distribute bhakti. So that is the position of Narada Muni. Just as the four Kumaras are Shaktiyavesh for Gyanamark, for impersonal knowledge. Similarly, the empowerment to spread Krishna consciousness is given to Narada Muni by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So this is the unique position of Narada Muni. And so we can see different episodes in Bhagavatam where Narada Muni is preaching Krishna consciousness and is delivering. Interestingly enough, we are talking about one particular dynasty, or one particular Manvantara, starting from the first Manvantara, Swayambhu Manvantara, where we have the Swayambhu Manu is there, who is the son of Lord Brahma. So in Swayambhu Manvantara, Narada Muni started preaching. We heard how he preached to Dhruva Maharaj. Even before that, he preached to whom? Uttanapada. And even not Uttanapada, Priyavrata. Priyavrata. So Priyavrata is the brother of Uttanapada, right? He is the older brother of Uttanapada, isn't it? And he had no interest to rule over the world, because being a Manu and Manu's son is not very easy task, because they have to rule over the world. So it is like universal governance. And he had no interest. So Narada Muni preached to him. This is the right opportunity. You go to Gandhamadana hills and you perform your tapasya. So you can see that from about third canto, we can see the episode starting from Swayambhu Manu. And we hear about Uttanapada in the beginning of fifth canto. Beginning of fifth canto. Priyavrata. Sorry. Priyavrata we hear from the beginning of fifth canto. Because all the way through, he was performing austerities. So you can see the strength of Brahmacharya of Priyavrata. Such a, you know, it's a very long time, even in the Swayambhu Manvantara, very long period he performed austerities. Because they had to recall him. He had to persuade him to get back to Grihastashram and rule over the world, because there was no one to rule over. Because in between, even Daksha wasn't there. Daksha was performing his austerities. So the time period is very interesting, that first Daksha got his, he cursed, he got his god body. Then he was satisfied with his god body because he was so effulgent and so attractive, Daksha. He was the most powerful demigod. He was overruling everyone. Only person who were more effulgent in that sense was Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada Muni. Only this great personality. Otherwise, Daksha was very powerful and having such an attractive body. Now he has got a head of a god. He couldn't tolerate that. Okay, it is not just any, not even a human form. He couldn't tolerate. So he left his body. In what he committed suicide after that with the god body. And then he got his birth as Daksha again. But that happened even in the Swayambhu Manandara. But he realized that he didn't have the same power that he had before. When he first appeared from Swayambhu Manandara, he didn't have that much power. Then he decided, I will go and perform austerities. And that's where Daksha started his austerities in the middle of Swayambhu Manandara, and he performed austerities till the beginning of 6th Manandara, Chakshusha Manandara. So nearly 4.5 manantras of austerities Daksha performed. So it is something serious, we had to understand. Even though he felt that he didn't have any power, still it is a very powerful worship of the Lord. We'll talk about that later. So you can see that how Narada Muni is involved. He was involved with Uttanapada. And no one was there. So Daksha has gone, no one was there. And then they had to approach Priyavrata and get him back. Even though that is explained in the previous fifth canto beginning. So this is the story going on. Now, Dhruva Maharaj, he delivered Dhruva Maharaj. Narada Muni delivered Dhruva Maharaj. And in turn, Uttanapada, because son is a pure devotee now. And his mother also delivered. So that is great. And in the same manner, we have seen Priyavrata is mentioned. And not only that, he delivered Prajina Barhi. Which story did Narada Muni tell Prajina Barhi?
Story of King Puranjana.
Exactly, the story of King Puranjana. So it's an allegorical story. You know the story, right? King Puranjana. So King Puranjana's story. So in that way, Narada Muni used different tactics at different places. Uttanapada's brother Priyavrata, direct preaching. No interest in material things? Directly Brahmacharya. So it was just go, that's it. And he went. And no one had any complaint. Uttanapada became the king. Problem solved. When it comes to Dhruva Maharaj, he said, okay, you want to fulfill your material desires? Here is bhakti process, you go. So he used Dhruva Maharaj's kshatriya determination. So Narada Muni says, see the prowess and determination of these kshatriyas. They cannot forgive. They want to just go for it. That is, the kshatriyas are like that. It's very difficult to forgive things. Brahmana is very easy. Kshatriyas difficult because mode of passion. Then when it came to Prajina Barhi was in completely in fruitive activities. He was only aimed at material upliftment, and in that it was not just the mode of passion, some ignorance was also there. Why? Because he was doing unnecessary animal sacrifices, so killing so many animals. That's the reason Narada Muni understood it is very difficult to instruct him straightforward way. Then he had to narrate the whole pastime of Puranjana, and then Prajina Bhakti understood. He also got the point. So we can see Narada Muni used different strategies in presenting Krishna consciousness. Now, in this purport, it is mentioned very clearly that there are different people that approach the Supreme Lord. Bhagavad Gita is mentioned, right? What are the categories? It is mentioned. Artho jitnyasra arthati jnani cha bharadashapa. There are four kinds of people who surrender unto the Lord. Those are pious. One is starting from Artho, Artha. Artha means one who is distressed. Then Jitnyasu. Then Arthati and then Jnani. So Jitnyasu is one who is inquisitive. Arthati, one who is after money. And Jnani, one who is in knowledge. So the four kinds of people, they surrender unto the Lord. In Nectar Devotion, we can read that all these four kinds, or for the first three are considered, or four also, can be considered as neophytes, as Kanishtha. Specifically first three. They are Kanishtha or they are neophytes because they are approaching the Lord for material benefit. So of the four, who is the best? We know that. Who is the best? Yeah, the best. And of the rest, of the three, who is the best?
Inquisitive.
Yes, that's right. The inquisitive is considered best. So Acharyas mentioned that that's why inquisitive is placed between Artha and Artharthi. So it mentions at one point one has to be inquisitive. What's going on? What's the real philosophy? One needs some inquisitiveness, or jitnyasa. Someone who has jitnyasa is called jitnyasu. Someone has to be a jitnyasu. So Artha is not interested. What is the philosophy? Is right? Generally speaking, initially, I want relief from the suffering. That's all. I have suffering, I want the relief from the suffering. Similarly, Artharthi, one who is after wealth, not so much interested in philosophy. Give me wealth, I'll do what is needed. Okay, tell me what to do to get the wealth, I'll do it. Dhruva Maharaj didn't ask about the name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Lord. Okay, I want the wealth, I want a kingdom which is even greater than that of my grandfather Brahma, an even bigger kingdom I want. So, okay, chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, I'll do it. Can't hold the breath, no problem, I'll do it. He didn't ask anything further about the name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Lord. Whatever is required to achieve the desired goal, he performs. So this is the mentality of one who is after money. Similarly, one who is here, Artha, suffering person, it is very difficult, isn't it? If you are going through suffering, we may not be very much inquisitive about the intricacies of philosophy, or we need to hear something which will alleviate our pain. So Gajendra example is given, right, in Nectar Devotion, Gajendra example. So he chanted the mantra and he offered a lotus flower from the lake to the Supreme Lord. And then immediately the Supreme Lord appeared. And he, with his disc, he killed the crocodile and saved Gajendra. So these are the, and inquisitive, what is the example given? Exactly, the sages of Nainisharanya, they were inquisitive. So they wanted to know, they asked the initial questions in the beginning of Bhagavatam, and the entire Bhagavatam is answer to these questions. So they asked the questions and then straight away they came to the transcendental platform. The point is, they didn't remain as Kanishthas or neophytes. Rather, this was a stepping stone, and from there they became pure devotees. However, when it comes to jnanis, Krishna is very pleased with them. Tesham jnani nityayukta. They are nityayukta. They are always engaged in devotee service. Ega bhaktir visheshare. And their bhakti is ega bhakti. Or ekanda bhakti. Or ananya bhakti. Or pure devotion service. So their bhakti is one pointed. So Krishna says, Priya, he is Priya. Priyogi jnanino atyartham. Atyartham means extra. Atyartham priyaha. So Krishna is telling, they are very dear to me. Atyartham priyaha. Indeed, they are very dear to me. Jnani is very dear because they don't have any other thoughts, they don't have any other deviation. And then Krishna, to add that, he says, Aham sa cha mama priya. And so that is the point. They are ekanta bhakta, they are nitya yukta, they are jnani because they have knowledge of Krishna, and Krishna explains his position. He says, Aham sa cha mama priya. And for me, they are most dear. So there is such a loving reciprocation between one who is knowledge, one who doesn't have material desires, and worship the Lord. So it's even more dearer. At the same time, one may think, if jnani is superior, how about others? Krishna says, everyone is magnanimous. He doesn't say that only jnani is magnanimous. Udara sarva eveti. Udara means magnanimous, like vadanya. Everyone is magnanimous. But of course, Jnani is on a higher category, but everyone is Udara. Udara means magnanimous. Why are they magnanimous? They are considered magnanimous because they are magnanimous in giving their devotion. They are magnanimous in giving their affection to the Supreme Lord. Because the Lord is eager to have a loving relationship with the devotees more than the devotees. So this is elaborated in the pastime of Gopakumar's journey to the spiritual planet in Vaikuntha. In that conversation we can hear the Lord is telling that he is more eager than Gopakumar himself. He was telling, this lifetime I thought you will make it. This lifetime I thought you will make it. I was waiting. Finally, I had to personally appear as your guru. In that way, the Lord of Vaikuntha Narayan explains his affection for his devotees. He has told this before also. Even Ambarish pastime again, he has the same kind of account where the Lord is telling, I am completely sold out to my devotees. So this is the position. So Udara Sarana Evaite. So everyone is Udara. Even if he's going for money, Krishna is okay. But one has to be careful. What is the problem? One may get what one wants, material desire, whether it is wealth or one may be relieved of one's anxiety and distress. But after that, when their material desires are fulfilled, if they haven't actually taken bhakti seriously, they can go back. It happens, some may come and completely stress and anxiety. They associate with the devotees for some time, short time. They get a bit of a relief. After that, what happens? Okay, you may go. Take off. Again, dive back to the pool of material existence. Because of forgetfulness. The devotees can also do the same thing. For example, after a few years of devotional service, one may forget the suffering in the material world. What we went through, we may actually forget. Then one can think, I will have a balanced approach. What is the balanced approach? Some sense gratification and some bhakti. I'll chant my rounds, I'll do some sense gratification. And then Maya start working. In like a pin, out like a plow. And no matter where am I now, what happened to me? I'm again back to suffering. So this is the trick of Maya. That's why Arthaha, one who is suffering, is in the mode of ignorance. In the mode of ignorance. And Jijnyasu is in the mode of passion plus some goodness is there for sure. Because there is inquisitiveness and some goodness is there. But Athati is primarily in the mode of passion. Can you see? So there are many modes we can say. Jnani, we can say goodness, but he is beyond goodness. So we can see different shades of material nature in these four categories. However, Krishna accepts, and for Jnani, what he says, he is like me. I treat him as myself. So that is the position of a jnani, who is in knowledge, no material desires, and wants to do exclusive devotional service to Krishna. So that's why Krishna makes the same point even to Uddhava. No one is dearer to me as you. You know, I treat you as myself. That is the position of Uddhava. So Krishna says, look, he is very, very attracted to, and he wants to have special reciprocation with one who is knowledge and one who doesn't have material desires but serve Krishna completely. So this point is clear, I hope, that how the Lord deals with the jnani. Now jnani is a pure devotee, he loves him, and the jnani continues the devotion service. However, let's look a little bit deeper into the reciprocation of the Lord to other categories, especially Artha and Arthati, or in general, one who approaches the Lord with material desires. So the Lord has a strategy. What he has to do if somebody is approaching the Lord with all material desires? So the Lord is a kind father. So he proclaims his strategy. I'll do something about you people. If you are coming with material desires, no problem. I know how to deal with you. He's the Supreme Lord. He knows how to. We can hear this in both Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's mentioned in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Satyam dishati arthidam arthito nirna naivarthitoyat punarathitoyataha swayam vidhate bhajatam anichatam ichabhidhanam nijapada pallavam. Krishna says, it's a very nice verse. Satyam dishati arthitaha arthito nirna. People in general, arthitaha, they are arthitaha, they are approaching the Lord with material desires. Right? Then, what he does, he says, Dishati, I will fulfill their desires. If you approach Krishna for your material desires, Krishna says, I will fulfill your material desires. Whatever they want, Arthitam, Dishati. Arthitam means whatever they desire for. Arthitaha, Arthitam, Dishati. No problem. I will do that. However, there is a catch. But there is a special way in which he does fulfill the desires. What's that? Na eva arthitaha yatha yat. Na eva arthitaha. So, I will fulfill the material desires in such a way that such a devotee will not ask for that again. Okay, this is the genius of Krishna. Krishna will, okay, fulfill the material desires, no problem. I will fulfill the material desires. But I am a kind father, so I will fulfill the material desires in such a way that such a devotee will not come back and ask the same thing again. So he will give realization. So, yes, punarathitaha yatha. So there is a wonderful conversation we can read in this regard from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, the Lord says to his devotees, if somebody is engaged in my service and if he still asks for material things, the Lord considers, he says, Mage Vishesukha, if somebody is asking for Vishesukha, material desires, Amrita Chadi Vishamage, he says, such a people are giving up nectar, instead they are asking for poison. So if Krishna considers, if somebody is asking for material desires, such people are, even though they have the opportunity to serve Krishna, they have the opportunity to purify, still if they are asking for material things, then the Lord considers themselves, they are foolish and they are asking for poison. So the Lord says, my such devotee can be foolish, but I am not foolish. I am very intelligent. So he says, what I will do, I will not give them this visha, I will not give them this poison again and again. So that is mentioned. I will fulfill the material desires in such a way that they will not come back to me for that. So he's, and rather, what will they get? Ichchabhidhanam nijapada pallavam. He says, the nijapada pallavam, I will give my lotus feet, which are ichchabhidhanam, that can fulfill all desires. In other words, having obtained the lotus feet of Krishna, or having obtained pure devotion service, once all other desires are automatically fulfilled. So Krishna says, if they are asking for visha, if they are coming for poison, I will not give poison. Rather, I will give myself to such devotees. So this is the way Krishna deals with artho jitnyasura arthati, one who are approaching him with material desires. So he has his own strategy. That's why Dhruma Raj approached the Lord with material desires. But what happened? At the end? He has his famous prayers, right? He has his sthana bilati tapasisthitoham. He says, he reflects on himself. Sthana bilashi, I was desiring highest position. Tapasisthitoham. And for that, I performed all the austerities. Sthana bilashi tapasisthitoham. And then what happened? Tom praptuman devam nindra guhyam. Even for great sages and demigods, you are, it's not very easy for them to obtain. It's very difficult to obtain Krishna, but I obtained you. I have seen you. I am in front of you. Sthana bilati tapasisthitoham tvam praptuman devam nindra guhyam. Then he says, Kachan Vichinvan Apidiviratnam. I have, you know, Kachan Vichinvan. That is, I have given up the real treasure, that is you. Instead, I am searching for broken pieces of glasses. So this is the realization of Dhrumaraj. So he says, Swami Kritarthosmi. Oh Lord, I am completely satisfied. And I am completely grateful. Varana Yache. I don't ask for any other boon. We can see the prayers of Dhrumaraj are prayers of lamentation. So this is what happens if we approach the Supreme Lord with material desires. One can become very morose. Why did I do that? So this is applicable even to us now. If you don't perform devotional service properly, then in due course of time we'll think, you know, why didn't I do properly things? I had such a great opportunity to do serve Krishna. Why did I miss that opportunity? Similarly, if you approach the Lord just with material desires, then one will be lamenting at the end. Of course, Krishna will remove that lamentation. Still, Dhrumaraj had to stay in Dhruvaloka for such a long time. Still, he is in the Dhruvaloka. It's like this is a spiritual world, but still, it's slightly different, right? He wanted to go back, come back to God immediately, but he couldn't. So this is because of the material desires. So Krishna knows how to deal with those material desires. Ultimately, he will purify and he will give himself. We may also had such kind of experiences in our life, isn't it? If you reflect on yourself, you can see when we came to Krishna consciousness, or even after coming to Krishna consciousness, we had many material desires. Even some of them may be very prominent. We may have even prayed for that. You can reflect, and then you can see that Krishna may have fulfilled those desires, but he also gives a realization what's wrong with such kind of desires, how they are not really satisfying us. So this is the mercy of the Lord. Having said this, we'll move on to another very important topic in this. That is, we had to see the life of Daksha and we had to understand a few points. Because I explained that Daksha's episode starts from the Dakshayagna, where Daksha curses Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was his son-in-law and he couldn't accept the superior position of his own son-in-law. Okay, Lord Shiva is a pure devotee, Vaishnavana Mithashambhu. Even Lord Brahma respected Lord Shiva, even though he is his son. Still, he respected. That is the position of Lord Shiva. Still, Daksha was very offensive to Lord Shiva. He started criticizing Lord Shiva. What is his position? He doesn't even have a house. He is living on top of the mountain. There is no house. There is no roof. He is living under a tree. And he dresses very, very poorly. A deer skin or a tree bark, that is his dress. And he throws ashes all around his body. All over. It's like, you know, what kind of person is he? And he has a snake around his neck. Started criticizing like this. And not only that, his eyes are just like that of a monkey. This is what Daksha said. And I have given my daughter to him whose eyes are that of his daughter's eyes are just like that of a deer cub. And I have given to this person whose eyes are just like that of a monkey. So this is how Daksha started criticizing Lord Shiva and finally cursed Lord Shiva. This is a heavy blasphemy in front of all the devotees. So it is mentioned that Lord Vishnu didn't appear in that yajna. We can read in the fourth canto. Vishnu didn't appear because he knew it's going to be a mess. And he didn't want to partake in any of this. Lord Vishnu didn't appear in that particular yajna. Rather, other demigods, Brahma, everyone was present. And we know the curses and counter curses went on. So this is such an offensive mentality. And in that character, we can hear that Daksha asked for forgiveness from Lord Shiva. It ended up in the suicide of his own daughter. He had to witness the suicide of his own daughter, Sati. So then Sati appears as Mother Parvati, because Sati gets the birth as the daughter of Himavan, so she is known as Haimavati. She is known as Parvati because Parvata, Parvata means mountain, the daughter of Parvata, Himalaya. So that's how Parvati was born. And when she was born, she had a spontaneous attraction for Lord Shiva. And who is Parvati? She is Durga Devi. Devi Heshi Gunamayim Amavaya Durateya. She is the personification of all three modes of material nature. Who is Daksha and who is his daughter Parvati or Sati? She had the power to annihilate millions of Dakshas. That is the power of Parvati, Sati. She had that much power. Because Daksha is nothing in front of Parvati. But in that pastime, she is just acting as his daughter. So Daksha is being very foolish in one sense. And who is Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva is her husband. So what is the position of Lord Shiva? So all the material nature in one sense is under Lord Shiva. So then still Daksha was audacious to, you know, criticize and then blaspheme Lord Shiva. The point is, then he got the body of a god or the head of a god. Then he gave up the body. He performed tapasya for 4.5 manvantaras and he worshipped Lord Vishnu using the Hamsa Guhya prayers. And he worshipped for such a long time, and beginning of Chakshu Manantara, he got the darshan of Lord Vishnu. And then we can see that the Lord didn't appear in two-handed form, neither he appeared in four-handed form, rather he appeared in six-handed form. Why? And he had different weapons and different opulences, because he understood Daksha has still material desires. He is not pure yet. Even though he is able to see the Lord, still he is not pure yet. So that mentality that he is carrying, the offensive mentality he was carrying. So the Lord appeared and he gave whatever Daksha wanted. So he wanted the power to create progenies. He gave that power, no problem. He took it. But he didn't give pure devotional service, because he was carrying the offensive mentality, even though he worshipped the Lord for 4.5 manvantaras. And then this offensive mentality will be demonstrated again in the next verse that I am not going to touch now. That next speaker will speak. That is, he cursed Narada Muni, a pure devotee, because Narada Muni had saved his entire dynasty, starting from, you know, great 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 forefathers, you know, Dhruva Maharaj, Uttanabada, Priyavarada. He had saved everyone. Still, he was so blasphemous that he cursed his own guru, his family guru. He cursed. Can you see the position of Daksha? So that's why we have been so careful about Vaishnava Aparad. It is very difficult to take out. So even though he performed tapasya for long manvantara, still that offensive mentality was present in his heart. So this is something which we had to learn from this pastime. Similar point we can see in the pastime of Bharata Maharaj. Bharata Maharaj, he was a great king. He left when he was young. He left the kingdom, he left the wife, he left the wife and children and whole kingdom. He was dear to everyone, but he left everything. And a very graphic example is given. Just like if we pass, and if we just walk away, we are not attached to us, we pass from our body. We go to the toilet. We don't get attached to that. In the same way, he gave up all his wealth. Still, in due course of time, he got attracted to a deer. Then it is analyzed, why did he get attracted to a deer, even though he was so detached from everything? And he was on the platform of Bhava Bhakti. So one explanation is, he was away from the devotees. So that stresses the importance of Vaishnava association, devotee association. Even though even one can be very advanced, still we need the association of the devotees. If we go to the spiritual world, we are not alone. There is association of the devotees. So association of the devotees is a common factor. Since Jiva Goswami gives another very important point, that there was some kind of remnants of offense in the heart of Bharata Maharaj, which is coming from some births. And because of that he got attracted to this deer. That is on one side of the story. On the other side, the Lord wanted him to come back as soon as possible. So he thought Dhruvaraj still has strength. So he didn't want him to go through multiple lifetimes to perfect. He thought, okay, I will give him the life of a deer, and at end of that life, he will become a pure devotee. So when he finishes life as a deer, at the end, he became a pure devotee. So appearance at Jadabharat, that was only for preaching and for setting a good example. So Jadabharat, he was a pure devotee right from the beginning, means he's with Krishna all the time. So from this pastime we can understand the gravity of Vaishnava offenses. If you offend the devotees, it can be very, very disastrous. So we have to practice humility. And at least by words and action, we have to control. And if you think so much negative about devotees, it can be problematic. So if you have that such kind of negative mentality about devotees, you just serve the devotees. And in that way, or pray to Krishna, serve the devotees, and by that, that mentality will go away. But if you don't do anything about it, rather we think about that again and again, it is going to increase first thoughts, then words, and then actions. It can be very, very disastrous for our own life. So today we saw about the glory of Narada Muni being the dynasty guru of Daksha and his predecessors and his followers. And we also saw how the Lord treats different kinds of devotees, his status. And here, Narada Muni, another very important point I will explain. That is, Narada Muni took this artha because Daksha was very distressed. He took that opportunity to present Krishna consciousness, because that is the way of presenting Krishna consciousness. If one is going through trouble, then one can present Krishna consciousness. Narada took that opportunity. So that is a standard strategy. If somebody is in difficulty, that is a good time to talk about spirituality, isn't it? Because they can be a bit more open. They think, okay, things are not going well, this is not the place for enjoyment. Oh yeah, that's right, I'm going through trouble. So Narada took that opportunity and tried to preach. But what happened? He got a contrary result. Because Daksha was not ready. He still had that offensive mentality. So rather than accepting the advice of Narada Muni, Narada Muni couldn't even speak anything. Before that, he was cursed. So this is the position of Daksha. And from there we can understand the gravity of Vaishnava Aparada. Okay, I'll stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Nilgiri Prabhu.
In the beginning, when we join Krishna consciousness, sometimes we think that everyone is a pure devotee, we see everything is good, there's no mistakes. But then as time passes, we can see, like, we start to see, like, mistakes.
Yeah.
And then how to get over this tendency to want to correct devotees.
Okay, very, very good point, because when we start our Krishna consciousness, we see that everyone is a pure devotee, everyone is effulgent, shining. But after some time, we tend to find the fault in devotees. How to stop this mentality? It's a reality. In the beginning of bhakti, we are coming from a world which is full of problems. And when we approach devotees, we see good qualities in devotees. And in the beginning, there is a special mercy of the Lord as well, which is pulling us to Krishna consciousness. Krishna may even give some initial material desires, or he will satisfy some material desires. Krishna will pull us because we are showing the initial interest in Krishna consciousness. However, as time passes, we see devotees, and familiarity breeds contempt, right? So we become familiar with the devotees, and it is a reality that devotees have good and bad sides. We can see ourselves, we have good sides and bad sides. There is no doubt about it. And so, we will have to be at least come to the platform of seeing both sides. If only one is only able to see bad sides, first start trying seeing the good side. So first one has to see both. Initially one cannot come to the platform of only seeing good. So first our standard is, we may be only seeing bad. So from that platform, see good and bad. Then we can see that good side is far higher than bad side. Because everyone is a devotee, everyone is chanting Hare Krishna, everyone is engaged in devotional service. So that is something very, very, very unique. It's like, it's the greatest position in this world, to be a devotee. So we can see that such a person may have some force, but such a person is engaged in devotional service. Such a person is chanting Krishna's names. And we may not like that person because of our own anarthas, but such a person may be very dear to his own Guru and Prabhupada and Krishna. So we have to see from a broader perspective. So we cannot just focus on the negativities, rather we have to see something which is positive. So if you see something negative about a person, and if you want to correct that mentality, in the mind we have to think something good about them. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj used to do this thing. If there used to be any altercation or even fight among some devotees in the temple, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj asked them to sit next to each other and ask them, okay, tell 10 glories of the other devotee who you hate or fight with. And the other person, okay, tell something good about the other person. So it's glorification. Actually, if you feel, that's one thing, if you feel something negative about someone, if you have that, really, this is something we have to deal with. It's a reality check we have to do. And it is a very important thing, because we will feel bad about someone. We will not like someone who has done something to us. It is a fact. Then we had to glorify, we had to think good about them. Otherwise, that can actually poison us. That can affect our chanting, our sadhana, everything can be affected. If we water that, if we nourish that bad seed in our heart. So we have to understand the reality. Krishna conscious movement is like a hospital. So, hospital, who are in the hospital? Patients. Diseased people, that's why they are in the hospital. No problem. So we have to understand that some can be good patients, some can be bad patients, but at least we are all taking the treatment. Prabhupada and his followers are giving us treatment. Prabhupada is pure. So we may have our faults and we have to accept. We have what others have fault. So we have to correct them out.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for having a very nice class. You said that when you get the lotus feet, you can get everything.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on it, please?
Okay. It's a very interesting question. The Lord Himself says, Ichabhidhanam Nijapada Pallavam. Ichabhidhanam means all encompassing. All ichas means all desires. Whatever desires we have, the Krishna's lotus feet can fulfill all the desires.
How did you?
How?
How he does?
He has his own ways. I can't answer that question, how he does. But the point is, Lord's feet is like a Dhumaketu. You know what is a Dhumaketu? Fiery comet. Bhagavan uses many, many analogies to glorify the lotus feet of the Lord. You often we hear also Nijapada Pallavam. Pallavam means just like the sprouting shoot, you know, just coming out very soft. Or Padambujam, meaning lotus like feet. However, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an interesting analogy given to describe the feet of the Lord, and that is Dhumaketu. What kind of Dhumaketu is that? Vishyashya Dhumaketu. Whatever material desires are there, they can be burnt into ashes by the fiery comet of the Lord's lotus feet. Can you see? So, on one level, how he gives all satisfaction? Because when material desires are gone, then all the desires are to serve Krishna. So he can fulfill that unlimited desire to serve Krishna. Then the Lord's feet has his characteristic marks. So many characteristic marks he has, 19, and sometimes mentioned as 21. So many things, you know, Chandra, Tam, Kalish, you know. Kalasham, Trigona, Dhanushi, Gham, Gospadam, Proshtigam. You know, so many marks are given. So here, there is one interesting mark under the feet of the Lord. What is that? He has elephant god. Ankusham. He has elephant god. What is that elephant god? Elephant god, if you see, have you seen elephant god? If you, elephant is a big elephant, right? But Krishna can easily control the big elephant. How? What is that big elephant? You'll explain. If you see how the person who is along with the elephant, how he controls. Elephant god, not necessarily very big. You know, sometimes the length of the god is only this much. A stick is there, and the edge, there's a hook. And the ear, behind the ear, one pull. That's the elephant's jaws. So, so the one who is on top of the elephant, he can control the elephant just with a small god. It's just this big. And goes there and just pulls. And it pains and said, trigger point for the elephant. He just stops, okay, can't do anything. So this elephant god is one of the marks at the feet of the Lord. What does that represent? That represents the elephant of our mind, the elephant of material desires that can be controlled by the Lord. So that is very critical for us. You understand? So I explain two things. One is Dhumaketu and also the Ankusha, the elephant god. In that way, the material desires are gone, so the mind needs to have something. So if material desires are gone, then the mind is filled with spiritual desires, which is to serve Krishna. And Krishna fulfills that unlimitedly. And that is Ichha Vidhanam Nijapada Padma. Thank you.
I heard also that lotus feet, all the devotees, pure devotees sit there.
Yes, very good point.
So we get the mercy from those also.
Of course, very good point as well. Yes. In the association of the devotees. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
If
you
can take that
Hare Krishna Prabhu. You were talking about the four people that go to Krishna, and the inquisitive one is the best one.
Yeah.
But we see in Gajendra's story, he was distressed, and then he made Krishna come to the spot where he was distressed. So isn't distress the better one, because like they get Krishna?
Oh. So in case of so what's wrong with Dhruva is also got Krishna. Now Krishna came personally, isn't it? The Gajendra, yes, the Lord came in the on top of Garuda, flew in. And in terms of Dhruva, like the Lord personally came, 400 son as Krishna Garbha. So why do you think distress, only distressed person can get Krishna?
Because
like Gajendra is an
animal,
but Dhruva Maharaj
is a human.
He
was doing
the
study, but
Gajendra
was just in the water,
like
he
almost had a little incident. Yeah, so Gajendra is an animal and Dhruva Maharaj is a human. Both prayed and both got the Lord. So somebody who is in distress, any other human who prayed in distress and they got the Lord. Any examples? Do you know any examples? Let's think from Bhagavatam. Any distressed person who prayed to the Lord and they got the mercy of the Lord.
Arjuna.
Arjuna was a Krishna, he got the mercy. Classic example, Arjuna. Anyone else?
Draupadi,
a pure devotee. Not on the same category, because here we are talking about pure devotees, whereas this example is of Ajamala, good example. He got the mercy. Human, he was distressed and accidental chanting of Krishna's name. So the Lord can come. Even one is distressed, inquisitive, after money or in knowledge. Is it that clear? Or you have something else? Okay. Thank you. Any?
Okay.
Yeah, you want to pass the microphone? Thank you.
No.
No, it's not for me, it's for others.
Krishna's original form is like two-handed, right?
Yes.
You said Krishna showed six-handed form to Daksha because he was offensive.
Not exactly because he was offensive,
like,
but
he
showed his form because he wanted to fulfill his material desires.
It's not
the
same, like
Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu showed
six-handed
form to one of his.
No, that's different. Okay. So that Shatbhuj form and this Shatbhuj form are different. So in this the Shatbhuj form that Vishnu form specifically. Who? What the Lord showed to that Chaitanya Vishnu form. it's a Vishnu form in which there was snake. There was bow and arrow, and it's a different form. Yeah, and a rock, so it's a different form than the Lord showed. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shatbhuj form is Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and as Mahaprabhu, as the sannyasi. So that's Shatbhuj. So you can see that Shatbhuj form there. Can you see that? In front of Sarvabhattacharya, in our temple, there is this wonderful painting by Rasanandini Mataji. It was eight-handed. Okay, sorry. If it was eight-handed, I made a mistake. That's why the extra things are coming, like not this one. The Daksha Vashram was eight-handed. Sorry, more material desires. Six is not enough. So eight. So there was Pasha. There was this rope. There was snake. There was bow and arrow. Few things were there like that. Understand? Yes. Okay. Okay.
About the four reasons why we come to Krishna consciousness. As I see it, I think everybody except when you're on the level of prema comes with some level of distress. Because material life is stress.
Yes.
So only the pure devotees, they can only come purely out of not wanting to know the absolute truth. But they actually already know the absolute truth because they're pure.
Yeah.
So it's always a combination of distress and one of the other three.
That's right, yeah. So here also we can see, how many of us came because of three reasons? Okay, four reasons are there. Who came for just in knowledge, no material desires? Anyone here? I'm not there, I haven't bothered away. You came only, okay, probably he, she. At least I'm not in that platform. Who came because of distress? Distress, okay, partial distress over there. Distress, and who came because of inquisitiveness? Partially inquisitiveness was there. And who came for money? Okay, after coming, we prayed for
desire of liberation,
but also. Yeah, it's also a problem, yes. That is also.
Is it also part of money?
No, it's not part of money. It is, you could consider between money and the jnana in knowledge. So there are two interpretations for knowledge there. One is a pure devotee. Another one is one who is in knowledge, means one is jnana on that platform. So that is included in the fourth category. Now, yes, what you said is exactly right, that everyone comes with some of the material desires, and that's why we have sadhana bhakti, devotional service and practice, where everyone is welcome to come with whatever anarthas or whatever conditionings that we may have. The process will work. How the process will work? For the process to work, again, one has to practice pure devotional service. How one practices pure devotional service? So that is explained as Anya Bilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karmadi Anavrutam, Anukulyena Krishna Nishilanam Bhakti Uttamam. Now, when we talk about Uttama Bhakti, we have to practice that Uttama Bhakti as a practitioner on the sadhana level. How to do that? One may have material desires coming to our mind, but one is not praying for that, and one is not acting for that. So that's how one practices pure devotional service on our platform. Our mind will not be free of contamination, but at least we don't speak and act on that platform. And then we chant 16 rounds, and we follow the religious principles. In that way, we try to practice, and that will actually help us to purify. Makes sense. So anyone can come when there is a process, yes, another approach.
I was thinking about the question she asked in terms of animals, artha the jigyasu. In one sense, an animal, it's very rare for an animal to be jigyasu, inquisitive. Or even a jnani, or even want money. It's only human beings who want money. So the only process for animals in that good is distress.
Yes. And that is a very rare occurrence. Because we know the position of Gajendra, he was king in Vidumna, so we know why he ended up in such a position.
Just a quick one, with the jnani, the person who comes to Krishna consciousness and knowledge, the kids that have grown up in our movement, are they in that category?
I don't know, to be honest. I cannot give a sure short answer. We can hear from Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, right? They are a very rare source. They are continuing from their previous lives, their devotional service, that much we can say. Whether they are on the pure platform or not, I don't know. Time will tell. Yeah, so we don't know. So we can just wait and see.
Only Krishna knows.
Yeah. I'm not the judge, so. It's a very fortunate birth. That's what Krishna speaks in the 6th chapter. Very rare birth to get birth in the devotee family. So it's very rare. So it depends on how we take this opportunity. Great opportunity. So how one takes that opportunity? One gives themselves. So definitely Krishna will help such people.
So
okay, final question. Okay, you want to pass the microphone?
So what's happening is Krishna is fulfilling Daksha desire in a way that he won't desire again. Yeah.
Yes.
So giving you many sons. But then you want to desire more sons, more.
Yeah, he wants to fulfill some desires in such a way that he doesn't want to pray for that again.
Yes.
Like that example with Rumaraj. So that's where Krishna, Krishna wants to do it. Yes, that's right. Doesn't mean that we had to go and, you know, now let's have all our material desires listed. Anyway, Krishna is going to fulfill, so it's a good deal, right? Material desires are going to fulfill. And he will give the realization also, so good. It doesn't work like that. Krishna knows what's going on, you know. Even the holy name will not work. If we are material desires and if we are strong, holy name, we will not be able to taste the holy name. So that is even, it is better than, you know, fulfillment of some material desires. Getting some taste for Krishna's names, which is achievable, some, you know. At least the beginning of taste is achievable. Just sit here and chant, do service. It is much more fulfilling than material things. So, yeah. Hare Krishna.
That's why Mahaprabhu says Naam Ruchi.
Yes. Jai.
Mahaprabhu says Naam Ruchi, Jeev Daya, and Vaishnava Seva. Three most important.
Thank you. Granthasya Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.